Hey, this is Dawn.
And this is Lana.
And this is Chad.
And I'm Wendy.
And you're listening to Screw It, a podcast about wine. Wine improves with age. We improve with wine. And we're drinking in public tonight, Lana.
I know. With an audience.
What?
We are here at the Phoenix Theater on Hennepin that has a fantastic wine selection because it's got some weird stuff and some good stuff.
And I've never had it, and Dawn is telling me I must have the wine in a can.
Yes, the canned wine beverage, and we're going to get to that. We'll probably hit that one last. But
hang in there, guys.
Yeah, hang in there.
Because I know I'm waiting for it.
So we have, for this episode, Prosecco de... You pronounce it, because, Lana, you make it sound better than I do.
Prosecco toch tosti.
That sounds like Klingon.
It kind of does.
What do you want from me?
It's very German-Italian going on over there. I'm just
you know, I've been playing a Nazi all week. What do you want from me?
non-Nazi, but we'll talk about that later. And we're also drinking Salmon Creek 2012 Pinot Noir.
That doesn't sound remotely exotic.
No.
Salmon Creek. The two ends of the spectrum.
Yeah.
Should we start with the Prosecco?
Oh, please, let's.
Go ahead. The Prosecco is in these like lovely little... And what's fun about this event today, this live Screwed event, is that our audience is also drinking with us.
Yay!
So,
not like our... Oh, for that love of all that's holy, how do I get this?
So, how do you get it?
Okay, you gotta get the...
There's a foil wrap on these bastards that apparently we need to open up. And
I
then,
can't
okay.
handle
And remember, don't point it at eyes. Don't point this at anyone's eyes.
Okay.
Here.
Really I'm just going to take my teeth
Wendy,
to it.
Do you want mine? Here you
it's
go.
Really gonna launch off.
You can have mine.
I've got it now.
Put your hand over it and just ease it off.
There we
okay.
go.
There you go.
So you take the key and you pull the key down a little bit. This will help you. And you unscrew the key a bit if you haven't done that yet. Uh-oh. We have audience members who are scared. Go ahead, Angela.
Go ahead.
Angela, go ahead and do it.
Just ease it off.
Just gently twist it off.
Okay, there we go.
Yay!
Here, we're going to try to get this one into the mic so we can...
It's kind of stuck. That was good.
Yes.
Nicely done. I'm pointing at that. I'm not pointing at
there
anything.
There we go.
Thank you very much.
You know, I'm sort of an expert at this.
I guess so.
Mine is firmly lodged.
Wendy, do you want mine? No.
Oh, I want left. My own damn
Damn
bottle.
It, I'm going to open my own.
I want to do it my own self.
Girl, it was hard. I had to hand it.
Jesus. We have rehearsal tomorrow, Wendy.
We need you in one piece.
Sweet Christ. All right, fine.
Okay, there we go. Okay, so Wendy gave up on hers, and now I'm going to open.
Wow. Oh, yeah. See, you were judging me a little bit.
I was judging you.
Mm-hmm.
Big
do you need to hand that off?
Yeah, I'll be over here, and I'll be looking at you.
Yeah, here you go.
Well, let's see if I have the big, strong, manly hands.
You have the magic touch, apparently.
Yep. You know what? Do you still have the
yeah, this,
the wire
this is
actually
helpful.
Helps?
Yeah.
Because it gives you a little something to...
Wendy took the wire off of hers, so she was doing it wrong.
So don't take the wire cage off, because it gives you some...
It gives you some gripping. I've never needed wire
there's
to
another
get
one.
Things
Woo!
Open before.
Cheers! You've never needed wire to get things to pop off.
Right. No,
it's
right.
true.
That needs to be written down somewhere.
And it will be.
All right, let's...
Let's get the best sound in the world. Four at once.
Okay. Nothing like wine hitting a plastic cup.
I know, right? Classy. So no, I know Proseccos are one of your favorite, Lana.
It is.
Why?
Well, first of all, you know, anytime you have an effervescence, it just feels a little more special and party. But it's not as, I don't know, there's not as much pucker as a champagne.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Italian, so of course I like it. But yeah, it's just I think that the bubbles are finer. And it's just not so overpowering. Champagne can just kind of like smack you
now,
in the
are
face.
You talking champagne or sparkling wine? Because that's two different things.
Champagne supposedly can only be
in the
created
Champagne
in Champagne region.
Yeah.
And Prosecco has to be made in Italy, supposedly, so blah, blah, blah.
Blah, blah, blah. But this is a lovely, like, it's almost like I don't even want to call it pale yellow because it sounds like urine.
Yeah,
it's more like a creamy white.
Yep.
Yes.
But that sounds
it's
disgusting,
really,
too.
It's
no, that's
clear.
Actually very accurate.
It's very, very clear.
Yeah.
It's like a pear cider.
Yeah, it looks...
Ooh,
yeah.
That's a good way to describe it.
And it smells delightfully fruity.
It smells very sweet.
Wow.
But it doesn't smell like frozen wines. That almost killed us on our last episode.
Oh, you had to bring that up. I'm having flashbacks. You know, I need therapy just for that.
That doesn't sound very appealing.
No, it wasn't. You must listen to that. Pain is always funny.
It was one of her funniest episodes.
It's not just sweet. It's fruity because there's that underbite of a little bit of, you know, citrus.
It smells like real fruit.
It's wine candy.
Wine candy. Yes. Candy.
Well, and doing the there's no reason to swirl this one on. No. And it has very fine bubbles.
It's nice.
Yeah.
It's nice.
It's nummy.
Okay, toast.
So toast to?
To the Minnesota Fringe Festival. Because that's what brought us all together.
Absolutely.
Cheers. Clinks. Because you can't hear with their plastic cups.
Yeah, and we touched glasses.
Give the stuff a taste.
Really? Ooh, it's so light.
Is it?
Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
This is what I like.
No, we got some lovely audience reaction. Like, one person took a sip and was like, right afterwards.
Wow, I really like that a lot.
Yeah.
Prosecco is a beautiful thing.
It's crisp.
Mm-hmm. There is a little...
Summery. Yeah. That's a good description.
There's a little bit of almost an apple-y taste at the end.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's good.
Well, and Angela will be sucking this down.
I taste more pear, but yeah.
That's perfectly reasonable. Mm-hmm.
So how many people here have not had Prosecco before? So
I don't know. I've drunk a lot of different things. It's
most
possible
of them
I had.
Are handed to me.
Confessions by Wendy.
Oftentimes in a beaker at con.
I'm a social person who is open to new experiences.
That's fantastic.
Okay?
Wow, that's what you say once you're past your teens and 20s. Cool. Okay.
And then there's me. I barely drink anything, but I'm a sucker for port.
Hmm. Interesting.
I can't handle port, so you can have
my favorite.
Well, I love everything, except for Syrah. Anyways, so, wait, how many people? So at least half of us here have not had Prosecco before. Mm-hmm. So, Chad, this is your first experience.
Very first
with it.
Time, yeah.
Tell us about your first experience.
Well.
Please.
A long time ago. My first experience with wine or with?
With Prosecco.
Prosecco.
Well, let me tell you.
We can go somewhere else with that. That's fine.
How's it hit you there,
Chad? No, it's really nice. Chad. I like the flavor. I can see myself drinking this. There's a lot of different types of beers and wines over the years that I've just kind of weaned off the list because my palate just... I have a really sensitive stomach, too. I should probably go along with that. But putting all that together, I could easily see enjoying this, and it's not going to bother me. It's not harsh.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't slap you upside the head. The nice thing about this is it's there's an element of refreshing that goes along with drinking this wine that some wines don't give you. They just, this is alcohol and you're drinking it.
Woo-hoo.
This really
Which
actually...
Which has its place.
It does. Sure. This is not one of those wines. It's more of a refreshing, hey, have a little bit of this, but hey, hi. Mm-hmm. How you doing, old friend? Isn't it nice outside today?
It's a social wine.
Yeah. It really is.
It's not really a wine you're going to drink by yourself. I mean, you could and enjoy it, but it's definitely something that, like, drinking it feels like you ought to be sharing it with someone on a patio at sunset.
Don and I have had this the few times that we've gone to brunch together. It's always
we start
Prosecco.
With Prosecco at brunch because and what was kind of nice though is that these little bottles, they're adorable,
aren't they?
We're drinking from 187 milliliter bottles, which is still 11% alcohol, God bless it. And I mean, this is
it's windy size.
It's windy size. It's fun sized.
Since 1820, huh?
Since 1820. An audience member wanted a picture of you. Jeez, Wendy.
Aww.
Oh,
adorable.
So cute.
Yeah. Here.
But it's kind of nice to have it in a tiny... Well, and Proseccos usually are in a smaller bottle, aren't they, Lana?
When you buy a full bottle at the liquor store.
Mm-hmm.
Because I got a couple in the basement right now.
What?
Actually, I always have a bottle of Prosecco at home in case, you know, something great happens and you want to celebrate. This is my I don't do champagne. We do Italian wines at our house.
This is definitely a celebration wine.
Yeah.
In Austin, Texas.
Where Wendy's going to be moving to shortly, which we're all sad about, but whatever.
In Austin, Texas, there is the Central Market. And it is this giant grocery store, a little bit upscale with all sorts of organic. So think like Whole Foods, if Whole Foods was a little bit more cool and interesting, right? And larger. And they have this restaurant / bar deli counter where you can order food.
Yeah.
And outside they have a huge patio. Remember, it's in Texas, so it's warm year round. Huge patio.
Wait,
it's hot in the summer.
There's places that are warm year.
Oh, it's a dry heat.
But no, it's not. I lived in Texas.
It's not, actually.
I know.
But this enormous patio and a playground for the kiddos. And did I mention Central Market sells wines? So you can order your meal, buy a bottle of wine, go outdoors, sit on a patio, drink the wine while your kid plays on the playground. They give you a beeper when your food is ready. You go get
it. When your kid is ready, you're beeps.
You can just go play. Mommy's going to sit right here.
But the point of bringing all this up is I can see drinking this wine in that scenario.
Yeah. I'm glad we've given you something to
I'm going to sit on that patio while Teddy plays on the playground. I'm just going to sit there on an evening and be like, yep, mommy's watching, baby. Mommy's watching.
Mommy's having a kid's that thing again.
That's, I like Prosecco. And what's really fun about this particular Prosecco, it's considered an extra dry. Now, does it taste extra dry?
No.
Not in the way a red would taste
or
extra
dry. Or white tastes extra dry.
Yeah, like extra dry whites make me a little unhappy.
They make me
way unhappy.
Yeah, so
They like crawl inside your mouth and are spiky.
This is more fuller and round than a dry. I mean, you know what I mean? There's more flavor. Yeah. Dry to me, if I've ever had a red wine that says dry, there is like a limited bandwidth of where the flavor is supposed to hit you. Mm-hmm. Whereas when it's not so dry, it's going to be a little more rounder. This doesn't taste round at all. So
This has a friendly mouthfeel.
I like to put this in my mouth over and over again.
You really haven't listened to the show before, have you?
I think this is the first time we've ever had someone describe wine as a bandwidth, which kind of like makes me want to talk to Chad about what he does in his daily life and what he's doing for fun.
What an incredible segue.
Oh my God, wow. Transition time.
It's almost like someone planned that.
No, I didn't.
No, I really didn't.
I'm just that good.
Really, I love the Fringe Festival. I didn't really know anything about it until I joined the band that I've been in for the last 11 years, The Dregs.
Woo, The Dregs!
Minnesota Renaissance
11
Festival.
11 years The Dregs have been together?
Yeah. No, they've been together longer than that. I've just been with the group for now 11 years.
Yeah, they've been, he's not an original member.
I'm one of the first non-original founding members.
It's still, Susie and Tim
are the only two that are left that are original founding members.
That's awesome.
So, yeah.
Okay, cool.
No offense to previous members, but I will say the band just keeps getting better.
It really does. Yeah, it's a lot of fun to watch.
I like the fact that it has survived and it has mutated to accept, I don't know, it kind of encompasses everything that we've always wanted to do. And I've always wanted to be in a band where I could play an instrument, but just go kind of crazy. And when I joined the Dregs, there was one person played a guitar and it wasn't that often. It was mostly a cappella.
Really?
I never thought I'd pick up an accordion and start playing it. That was bananas. So
bananas.
Yeah. Renaissance bananas.
Seriously.
Bananas in the Renaissance.
It's been a huge evolution in our band, I would say. But it's been a very
successful
Renaissance
festival. So historically accurate. They have frozen chocolate covered bananas in the Renaissance.
I do not destroy my dreams and fantasies, Dawn.
I won't.
Yeah.
Okay,
yes.
I'm sorry, Chad.
Yeah. That's how I originally found out about the Fringe Festival. Tim is a very active writer.
Tim Wick,
yes, okay. Thank you. And then just, there was an explosion through there. I joined him and helped him out with a few side projects. That's what it originally was. I didn't have anything to do with it. Just wrote
Which
some
side
things.
Projects did you help him with?
I have no idea because I don't remember. I was just like, hey, Chad, will you write the song? He wouldn't freaking tell me. I was just like, hey, let's... Can I just write this thing really quick? Great. You guys have a new song. Seriously, I think, I honestly believe that's what happened. And then...
He would give you credit, to be fair.
I wouldn't know anything about the damn thing, so sure, whatever.
It would just go off into the ether.
Sure. I can't even point to one particular project. It probably just happened, but the first time
I'm sure
I got...
some of your songs ended up at Convergence, too.
I'm sure. And that's another thing. When you kind of encircle the gravitational pull of Tim Wick, you kind of start to rotate and you go into orbit and you kind of stay there and you kind of start, look at what you do. I guess I'm doing these things too. And it just kind of, which is not a terrible thing. It's awesome because I wouldn't have never have met Wendy.
Right.
Wendy and I had a rough on and off until we met. It was all over a misunderstanding. I was getting wronged in a big way in a musical studio environment, and Wendy would have been the most positive thing that could have happened, but I took it the wrong way.
Oh.
That's the way to sum that up. Well,
yeah.
But we were able to, but we were able to get over that, and we. Yeah. I respect that.
I am a judgy person, but I always forgive.
And it was over, ironically, a friend show.
It was.
So how long ago did you guys meet each other? Like, or heard of each other, or circled each other?
Oh my God, the look on
the face. A year after I started Fest, so that would have been at least 8 years ago.
Well, when was, I don't even know when Jungle Mary Bang Bang was anymore.
Oh my God.
Because Scott Keefe.
Could you say that name again, please?
Jungle Mary Bang Bang.
So that's the show you two met on, kind of.
Well, kind of. That's the show we needed people to write music for us.
Oh, yeah.
We wanted some original arrangements. The show was a Sherman Brothers. Pardon me. Oh, I'm going to cough.
It's okay. Yay. I won't edit that out. We'll just leave that in.
The Sherman Brothers, it was a Sherman Brothers review.
Okay.
And for those of you who don't know who the Sherman Brothers are,
they
are the house composers for Disney during the Disney Golden Age. They wrote...
Okay, no. What is the Disney Golden Age? Help me with that.
So they wrote... all of the music for Mary Poppins.
Oh, the Disney
Age. Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Oh, I love Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
They didn't write all the music for the Jungle Book, but they did write some of the music for the Jungle Book.
Some of the stuff that didn't work in Mary Poppins, they carried on and said, you know what, we've got all this leftover music for Mary Poppins. Let's create this other story about a bed knob and a broomstick. Absolutely.
And they wrote It's a Small World. So
wait a second. Now I'm taking back everything I thought.
So it is like the best earworm song in the world.
They're really
the
crazy, catchy composers.
Yep.
And so we wanted to do a show about all of their music, and we were looking for original compositions and some. And I think it was Tim who recommended Chad.
Well, naturally.
And I was trying to like connect with him, and it got to be this crazy thing.
And you know what? There was some blowout.
He thought I was stalking Tim. That was the cute thing. Because he said he was going to be showing up at Tim's house, and this was back when I was still on the board of Convergence.
Oh.
And so I was over at Tim's house for some other reason, Convergence related. Probably it was the summer, so yeah.
Probably.
And I'm like, I'm just going to stick around, because, and Tim's like, well, I've got drugs, I assume drugs rehearsal.
Yeah,
and I'm like, I'm sticking around, because I want to talk to Chad about this music. And then I don't even remember how it all played out now, but Chad thought I was stalking him. And how dare I just show up at Tim Wick's house when I don't even know this man just to find him. And I'm like, Tim Wick's one of my oldest friends? What?
I had no... That's
it's
the thing. There
sweet,
was no...
Yes,
that
you're
was,
so protective.
That you were so protective of
at the same, well, at the same time,
Tim
there was
needs
really,
protection.
There
that's
was no, there was no gradient into entering this. This was just like a binary 0-1. Everything's on. Everything's on. You're doing everything. So I had no way for me to just grow into it and go, I get it now. It just... So
no, but that's
and
it was sort of rough, but then the next time we met, we both looked at each other and went, we're okay.
Yeah, we're okay. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I'm happy.
And then we worked on some of the best stuff I can say I've done to date. So I'm so proud of the work that we've done. That was amazing.
What projects have you worked on together?
Us. Well,
one that stands out is last year's Fringe Festival's Top Gun the Musical.
That was
Chad
funny.
Wrote the music, and it was brilliant.
Brilliant
and
music.
Wendy did the choreography, and it was brilliant.
It was.
And if Wendy said, we couldn't do this type of thing with the music, could you change the music? I said, yes. And if I said, God, that's going to be a really big pain in the ass, could we shorten this because the song is going to go on forever? You said yes. And so we really, that was the first time you and I really got to go, let's do this.
Yeah, it was super fun.
It was super fun.
And I point out that Dawn was in that show and was also incredibly wonderful.
Yes.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
I mean, good choreography, good music, good scripts. But what I thought was funny, though, because we'll talk about the next show coming up for Fringe, but I did perhaps... warn people coming in that's like, if Wendy and Chad start yelling at each other, because that's what happened at Top Gun. You guys make it sound like it was all like sunshine and butterflies, but they'd be like, why did you add this extra 8 beats in here? I didn't choreograph it, and you didn't tell me. You're gonna just, I understand there was a problem, let's just fix it together. Okay. And that's what rehearsals were like, and
that's
the actors would all just sit in the back and like, oh crap, oh wait, it's over.
We
didn't give me that warning. No, I didn't
give
anyone that
because
warning.
Because Chad and I are on the same wavelength. It's like, wait, what are you doing? No, I can't do that. Oh, we're going to do... Oh, okay.
Boom,
then that's cool.
Done, yes.
That's it. Okay. Mm-hmm. You just got caught in the crossfires of two laser personalities, like me.
That's the thing. It's hard enough being in a band with five other people who are also type A personalities, because then you're all kind of, we're known as not just the music that we're doing, but also what we're doing while we're doing the music, and what we're doing to the audience while we're doing to each other while we're doing the music. Mm-hmm. So we throw in some other people who have type A personalities who are also doing these amazing creative things and are functioning on a higher wavelength. And oh my God. So that's what happens. It's just every action.
All of you actors go over there out of the blast radius while Chad and I resolve our...
We did. We were like, boom, done.
It was. Okay. It was incredible. So, I mean, but yeah. So you did Top Gun the musical. What else have you guys done together?
Well, we're doing this year.
Besides, we're doing this.
But I'm not performing this year. It's all... That's the thing is, like, every other year it seems like, oh my God, I get to do this amazing thing. I'm not doing anything this year. I'm just going to do some recordings. Oh my God, I'm going to do it. So every other year, there's like, it's a really weird thing.
You say that like it's bad.
Trust me. I'm fine. I've got plenty of other projects in the background. I just finished with Josh Carson doing something for his Fringe, because he's like, I really need somebody to do this. And then you reminded Josh, well, you know Chad Dutton.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I was in a show with him 5 years ago. Sure, I'll call him.
Is he moving to Wisconsin?
I have no idea.
Why would he move to Wisconsin?
I have no idea. He didn't mention anything.
I swear to Christ, I saw that on his Facebook. He said he was moving to Wisconsin.
He bought a house. Wisconsin. He's getting married. He's got a beautiful puppy.
He was just visiting, I thought.
I never know what's going on.
I don't know.
It's true.
Never tried to know.
Also, I'm too busy to care. So help me, after last year I promised myself I'd only do one Fringe show, and I'm doing two again.
Yeah.
What's your other Fringe show, Wendy?
High Flight.
Tell us about that.
High Flight. So last year I did Jumpin' Jack Kerouac, which was
awesome.
It was super good times.
It was great. It was about, I mean, you took writers who are not dancers and then made them dance.
Yes.
And it was lovely.
And I had them write about the process. So I read their writings to give context to the dances that I created.
I used
what they wrote to inspire the dances I made for them.
And my favorite quote of that whole thing was Tim Uren, was the, I'd rather just take a nap. And it's like, oh God, me too.
It was so delightful.
Wait, oh my God, we did another podcast with the reference of Tim Uren. Dang it.
Every single one. Okay. We haven't even gotten to the red wine yet.
No, okay, I'm sorry, Wendy, go on.
Oh no, it's fine. It was delightful working with all of them. And they tell me they had a good time too, which is great. And so, you know, as so often happens, you go to Fringe Central after an evening of fringing to have a drink and chat and start planning next year's Fringe show. Mm-hmm. And I was approached by Karen Bratley, who I did not know at the time.
Oh, she's lovely.
She is. She really is. She is the director of Theater Parada. And I have known Clarence Weathern forever and heard about his girlfriend, but never met her. So this was like, you're Clarence's partner. Okay, that makes more sense. Okay, yeah. She approached me after watching Jumpin' Jack and said, I have a project that I really want to do with you. I think you are the person who would do it well. And the project is, she is in a brass quintet.
Which is cool already.
Wow.
It's super cool. She's like, I want to do a dance show where my brass quintet plays the music live. And I'm like, already I am interested in what you are saying to me. That would be super challenging. I am a jazz and Broadway dance choreographer. So choreographing to brass music is like really going out of my wheelhouse. And I'm like, yeah, I'm feeling up to the challenge. Sure. I've regretted that on occasion this summer. I have been like, why did I do that? That was... I like my wheelhouse. I should have stayed there.
And come sometimes here. You need a new room to add it on to your wheelhouse.
Yeah.
So what's the show actually about?
Karen, her father was a Navy pilot, and 3 years ago he went off the radar, and they have never found a single hair of him since.
Oh my gosh. And nor of his plane.
Of his plane. Nothing. No evidence of anything. He could have flown off to Mars for all we know.
Wow.
And the show is not so much about him as it is about how those who are left behind have to deal with.
Oh, God.
Not just the loss, but the ambiguity. How do you live with never getting to find out what happened, never knowing for sure one way or another? And it's fascinating stuff. And Karin has been super open about, you know, the emotions and the whole process and everything else. Mm-hmm. Ben Talon of
who's also lovely.
Yes, of Tedious Brief. Mm. He wrote the script that we're putting together, and it's a 5-person cast with Noe, his wife.
Oh, yay.
Yeah, and Danielle Ricci, she's a beautiful dancer, and Rachel Schley, and Josh Ingebrigtsen, who was in Top Gun.
Yay.
Yeah, oh, he's such a great dancer, too, and that's Derek awesome. Meyer. All of the dancers are doing a great job.
Great.
And so it is mostly a dance show with spoken interludes mm-hmm. to give context to what the dances are about, mm-hmm. and yeah, it's...
And where's it performing?
At the Illusion.
Nice.
And we open on the first night of Fringe, of course.
Of course.
Of course.
What time? Oh, gosh. It's either 7 or 8:30.
Well,
that's not better than nothing. It's not the first slot.
Which is another story. Should we talk about this wine?
Let's rate our wine.
I know it's 8:30 because Footloose is at 5:30.
I know. Well, anyways, okay, let's rate this wine and talk about it. I mean, has anyone, I know, Wendy, you've been munching on some almonds.
I have.
And did you feel like it changed the wine at all?
Paying attention.
Okay, well, let's pay attention.
There's some bread there and some gluten-free bread over here. No. We've got some olive oil if you want
it. We have extra plates in case you want to dig in.
Is somebody here non-gluten-y?
I am.
That's that one.
Oh. Okay.
I did not know that
one. Hmm. Mm-hmm. And we do have some oil in case you want some oil and try it out. But what do you think? You just munch some almond?
I actually think the almond takes away a little bit of the bite after finish. I actually feel like it improves it just a little bit. It smooths it out.
It does. I kind of have to agree with you on that one. Because there's it kind of gives it a little bit
because
more
it's a crisp white wine, which means some of the finish is a little more bitter than I normally like. I am normally a red wine drinker.
Likewise.
Oh, sorry.
So I feel like the almonds do a nice job there.
Actually, I think so, too. And
let me make some noise.
Just to prove that we are, eating almonds while doing this. So now, and the olive oil.
Mm. What is it?
This is a special olive oil. When Forrest Godfrey and Carrie got married, they gave away olive oil as one of their gifts.
That's fantastic.
So, yes, we're eating theirs because they can't be here with us tonight, so I figured we'd bring their olive oil.
Mm. Olive oil is so good for you.
Mm-hmm. I know. I love this stuff.
And coconut oil. Mm-hmm. The gluten-free bread without the oil doesn't do much, but you're right. The almonds really do take a little bit of the edge off.
Yeah. I think it's good, though. What do you think, Chad? You're munching the bread and...
What little edge there was. There wasn't that... I mean, for me, there wasn't an edge. This was like the candy of wines for me. Like I said, it was more refreshing than anything else, so... I'm a sweet tooth.
Yeah.
I like to balance things out. I like this bread, too. Yum.
Yeah. This is, honestly, the perfect brunch wine, isn't it? The sparkling wine, because it just goes with everything, and it's just nummy, and it's delicious.
And... Well, and for brunch, you want a lot of carbs, or at least I do.
I do.
And this clearly goes well with carbs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is nummy. So let's rate this, shall we?
Let's.
So this is the Prosecco. We love to rate on a scale of 1 to 5, 1 being the worst, 5 being the best.
1 is, I wouldn't drink that if they were handing it out free at Renfest. That's the bottom of any barrel.
That really is
I've
the bottom.
I've never seen that happen either, so that's
I did it once.
Oh, wow.
Some horrible mead that was sort of a fluorescent yellow, and it was non-drinkable.
You've had that. Yeah. We had someone in the audience who just gasped. I think they've had the horrible, they're thinking that they had the
mere
horrible.
Description is enough to make you gasp.
Number 2 is that this is what we would think would be like vinegar salad dressing. Mm-hmm. Put it on our salad. Sounds good.
3 is wedding-appropriate wine if they were handing it out at the wedding. You drink it, and it'd be fine, but you wouldn't remember it the next day. Unless you had too much.
Oh, well, yeah, you remember it the wrong way. 4 is a bottle I wouldn't mind drinking by myself.
That's such a big, huge, wide-open category. And 5 is...
I would tap that vintner's cask. So, on a scale of 1 to 5, Wendy, where would you put this Prosecco?
For me, given that I am generally more of a red wine drinker, this is a very solid 4.
You're right. Ooh. Right.
There you go.
Good for you, Chad.
Yep. My wheelhouse is Tawny-Port's.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, you know,
that's very different.
It's very. It's the opposite side, I think, of the spectrum. But I have to. I'm going to say 4 anyways because. Yes, you can't sit down with a port and have it with like, say, a sandwich or anything, you can't really have... Port's a dessert wine. Mm-hmm. I realize this.
Port
you don't really
is
have,
the dessert.
That's, yeah. that's mm-hmm. basically it. So, yes, I'm not a huge wine drinker in that respect, having something with something. This is the first thing I would come to if I was... You have to have a wine with this. This is the wine I would choose to have with it.
Awesome.
It's good.
Ooh, this with Dawn?
Oh, golly. You know what? I do like Prosecco, but this is... I'm very fond of this, and also for the price of it, because this bottle was, what, $7?
Yeah.
I mean, which isn't cheap, quote-unquote, but, I mean, I got two full glasses off of it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'll do the vintner on this
$7
one. I give it a $5.
For some joy.
Seriously.
Like that?
No, I will do the vintner on this.
I'm on the low end on this one.
Well, you're Prosecco, like, snob, though.
I wouldn't say a snob, but you're right. I have I've had a lot, and I would say this is a 375 for me.
375.
It's certainly better than wedding wine, but it's not one that I'd go. It's my day off, and I'm all alone in the garden. I'm just gonna have me a bottle of wine. This probably wouldn't be my choice.
Okay. Well, fine then.
Oh my God! Now I know what I want to do on my next day off.
Wow! Not a Prosecco. I'll blame myself. But I mean, this was a fun wine. Mm-hmm. I would drink this again, and I really enjoyed it. Should we move to the next one?
Mm-hmm. Oh well, you know.
Oh well, if
twist
we must.
My arm. Oh, and twist.
Do you need
cap.
Me to finish yours, Chad?
Yes. Thank you.
Well, I'm sure, yeah, we can all...
Yeah, we
can
all help.
Thank you very much.
Chad.
Here,
we can all
help. Here, I'll do that.
There we go.
There. So I don't put my lips on...
I know I'm asking a lot, so...
Yeah. I don't put my lips on your glass.
Here. Not very
what?
Often.
What? More, more glasses?
Fresh glass?
Yeah, fresh glass because it's red.
Right.
We're moving to a red, so now we got a fresh glass.
You guys
glass.
Are
really
classy.
Don't.
Classy,
classy. You know, you can't... What is it Bucky likes to say? You can't have classy without a little assy.
Yup, exactly.
I've never heard that before.
Are we sure this isn't just Sutter Home?
Kind of. I hope it is. So our next one is Salmon Creek, the Pinot Noir. So
it's a 2012 California.
Because what I want to think about before I put it in my mouth is that a fish might have swum in it.
I know. I feel the
great
same
Twin
way.
Peaks reference. There's a fish in the percolator.
Okay, let's all listen to it.
Hey, guess what?
There you go.
Guess what? Audience, Wendy and I could take the cap off by ourselves that time.
You're a big boy and a big girl.
I am muscular and mighty.
You are, actually. Oh, okay, so if our audience wants to join us, you guys feel free to move to the next
one. This one doesn't glug very well.
Oh, and this is going to be one glass here.
One glass only?
One big old glass.
Okay,
oh,
well, that's
a cougar pour. Hello.
Yes, it is. Well, I don't know what you're talking about.
You haven't met me before? What?
I just sucked the top of the bottle because I was like, oh, I don't want to miss any.
there's nothing left from my pour.
Super classy.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, so let's take a peek at this. The color is really
kind
of pretty.
I feel like
we're
cheating when it comes to color, Lana, because we're at the Phoenix Theater in Minneapolis, and it's like we got the gorgeous stage lights. And it's
so it's
like,
really making a magic red color.
It's a beautiful red color in these
it's
lights.
It's ruby red with a little bit of pink highlights.
And it's not I mean, it's kind of opaque. It's kind of hard to see through.
It's hard to tell when
you pour enough in there.
Yeah, I did. I was about to say, I did pour a full glass.
Yeah, I did too. Where I look at the edge.
Oh, yeah. Okay, to tell the age of the wine.
Yeah, no, it's pretty pink.
It's pretty pink.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sometimes
it's an optical illusion.
Well, I can do it against my plate, but you can't see
it. Yep, it's a little pink, so, I mean, even though it's a 2012...
I'm looking for legs here. I'm not... legs don't happen on plastic. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It's got to be a really good...
No, actually, I'm getting a little bit of leg.
I have absolutely no idea what you're looking for when you say leg.
The viscosity is it.
Okay, I see.
Oh, well, yeah, that's see. Because I
poured too much.
I poured too much, so I poured it into my white wine glass.
I got it. Yep. I can still see it.
There's some good leg action on this one.
Yeah, if it's doing that on plastic, it's actually doing pretty good.
Okay. Let's focus.
That was...
Take a smell. That's okay.
Oh, these tablecloths have seen a lot of olive oil and wine spills.
Yeah. Oh, thank God.
That's... Yeah, take a...
Like
take
my
a
sheets.
What else have we got on them?
And Nutella. And
now you see...
No, that's
now
not where we were going.
Nutella.
Hmm. So how do you think this smells? It's kind
of
vacant.
It's a very red wine smell.
Yeah. a la Tim Uren. It's red.
It's red.
It smells like red.
It's got a little bit of that yeasty smell, but not a lot.
No. Well, I don't know. I just ate bread, so.
Well, I've got gluten-free, which doesn't have that same...
Right.
But it doesn't actually a smell that's, like, impressive at all. It's kind of non-existent, in my opinion.
I don't actually smell anything.
Yeah.
I do, but that's because I don't generally
drink
a lot of red wine.
Hold on. I'm going to hop the wine now.
Let's smell it like a cat and use our Jacobson organ.
Yep, use your Jacobson organ.
You know what? You know what the smell is? You know what it is?
Do you breathe through your mouth when you do that?
If you close your eyes and you smell this cup, imagine you're walking into a liquor store. It's that smell.
Totally is. That's fascinating.
Kind of.
Because I kind of get this, Freon sense before I walk into it.
There's a little more cardboard, too, but if you really smell...
Instead of tobacco and pencil shavings, and I hint of cardboard!
No matter how I huff it, I can't get a strong scent.
Well, and I poured about three times as much as you, Wendy, and I still
and I should be...
No, it's faint, but it's there.
Okay, are we sure there's wine in here?
Okay, let's go to the toast before we start ripping on it.
We've secretly replaced Wendy's wine with Kool-Aid. Let's watch.
You bastard.
We're on this show. No. We don't say that.
Oh. So, what's to our toast this time, gang?
How about to collaboration.
To collaboration.
Absolutely. Cheers.
Because that's what Fringe is all about. So, how does this one taste? How was that opinion there, Lana?
You really did replace it with Kool-Aid. You jerks.
Wow. That isn't very good.
It's non-existent.
Well, it's got that edge that says, yes, there's actually alcohol in it, but it doesn't taste like wine.
Is this a Minnesota wine?
Let's find out. Salmon? Nope. No, California.
Because it is so passive-aggressive and conflict-avoidant that I could have sworn that it was a Minnesota wine.
The message on the side of the bottle should read, we know about the flavor, but thankfully it doesn't last in your mouth very long.
Yeah.
It just goes...
Actually, the flavor isn't bad because there's no flavor.
You took me down the wrong, very... bad path.
Yeah, I will say it is smooth.
Truth be told, I'm among.
It washes over the tongue and doesn't stay for very long because nothing's actually happening.
No.
Yes.
Except I agree. 12.5% alcohol.
It is the.
Let's give it that. 12.5%. So at least it's doing something.
Well, at least you'll get good and drunk.
I went ahead and had another bite of bread after my quick taste of this wine. If that gives any indication.
It is the red wine equivalent of white bread, in fact.
Yeah. That was sufficient to erase the taste from my mouth.
Mm-hmm. This is a great, after you've already enjoyed a wonderful wine and you're a little woo, then you start moving to this one.
When you're too tipsy to notice that you're not drinking a good wine, so why waste a quality wine?
Exactly.
This is communion wine.
Yes.
This might be sangria wine.
Mm. Oh, sure. The wine that makes something better out of it.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
The alcohol to kick your butt.
Absolutely.
And you add the flavor on because it doesn't have any of its own.
The wine version of Wapatui alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this one's depressing. Yeah, I mean,
it's not like I won't drink it, but...
Well, it's not like it's go-go red, let's just be honest, where we would just want to spit it back in the glass.
This isn't a horrifying flavor, it's just not... It's very unimpressive.
The first red wine I ever tasted, thanks to Joseph and Joshua Scrimshaw...
Oh, no, it wasn't the jug.
Yep.
Oh, the fabled jug.
Carlo Rossi jug, which is why, for the longest time, I thought I didn't like red wines, because they gave me that crap.
Oh!
And I think I need to invent
so much to
answer for. Yeah, I think I need to invent a time machine to go back in time and smack them for that.
Oh
my God, that stuff was horrible. I saw them both naked with jugs just in front of their junk.
Oh, Jiminy.
Jug junk.
Jug.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm surprised they didn't just use a mini bottle.
I can't. I cannot wait till Joseph actually... I want Joseph to become famous simply so I can dig out one of the pictures I know I have somewhere of him standing naked with a jug of Carlo Rossi hiding what's going on and be like, hey, Joseph Scrimshaw, remember this?
Probably be thrilled. Well, make it his guest of honor photo I got next year.
Yes!
That's
absolutely.
That would be...
So, yeah, we really actually want to edit this part out so he can be completely... Nobody will tell him.
Do you think he listens to
this? No, no one will tell him.
Do you think anyone listens to this?
Oh, you're right. I'm sorry.
And it's a year from now. They'll never remember.
Wait. Melissa and I will link to the podcast from Xanadu Cinema, so you will at least get six Bryans who listen to your show.
But speaking of the screenshots...
A Venn diagram of the Xanadu Cinema Pleasure Dome listening audience is most of them are Brian.
By the way...
Yeah.
Guess who did her theme song?
Oh my God, I know, Chad. What's my? I can't believe.
So
it
at some point,
gee,
hopefully these wonderful hosts will come into my studio and record a theme song.
Oh, I thought Chad was actually going to. Write
I sang it.
Before.
You can sing it. Lana could sing it. It's fun to sing your own theme song.
Because usually we just go, theme song. This is our theme song, yeah, and that's really super lame.
That's great.
But speaking of Scrimshaws, the Go Go Red, is that Joshua Scrimshaw brought the magic cheese.
Magic cheese.
I've never had it.
Latour.
It is
amazing.
Petite.
I thought it was Petite Latour.
Did he bring it from his fancy cheese shop at the store he works at?
Yeah,
he did. It's French goat cheese, and it made even the Go-Go Red, which is a Minnesota wine
which
that's
is
nowhere
awful.
Near ready for us yet.
No.
It made that palatable. That's why it's called the magic cheese. And then by the end of the recording, hopefully I'll remember the name of the cheese. Yeah. But it is
magic cheese.
Incredible.
So. I am a cheese fan. I believe we all know this.
Yes, I love the cheese as well.
I love cheese.
I sent out, when Jessica Cargill went out for a run during Convergence, and I found
out about it. People exercise during Convergence.
A grocery run.
I thought you meant an alcohol run.
Well, that too. I mean, let's be honest. They were going out to stock up for the weekend because they arrived early. And they're like, okay, it's Thursday. The con hasn't started. We need to stock up for the weekend. So
smart.
What do you want? And I happen to be near. And I'm like, oh, if you could buy some Dubliner cheese, that would be so great. I know, right? Dubliner is good stuff. And I didn't actually get it from her until the dead dog party Sunday night. And so then I had a block of Dubliner cheese. And I was the most popular girl on the block for about an hour. People are like, you've got Dubliner? I'm like, I do have Dubliner. Mm-hmm. And people are like, you have cheese? I'm like, yes, I do. And then we were sharing the cheese, and it was a
beautiful moment.
It was a beautiful, beautiful moment. It was like communion of the geeks.
Oh, that's over the Lego movie, even better.
But you know the best part? You'll enjoy this. Yeah. Jerry, have you had Jerry on your show yet?
Jerry Bajebaje?
Yeah.
No. Good idea.
I like that. Jerry Belich. So I've got this cheese and Gordon Smooter, right? Gordon Smooter is like, ooh, you have Dubliner, and he breaks out, and I'm like, you may have some. You break off a piece. And like blah blah blah, and I'm like, oh, and people are like, can I have some? Yes, you may have some. Blah blah blah. And then Tim Wick is like, holy crap, you've got Dubliner. Why are you holding out on me? And I'm like, I wasn't hiding it, Tim, because that's what Tim does. That's our relationship.
Yes. Yes.
And I'm like, here, you may have some. And then Jerry Belich walks up in his inimitable Jerry Belich fashion, and he's like, ooh, cheese. And I said, would you like some? Yes. And he takes it, and where everybody else broke off a piece, Jerry just goes, and I started laughing, and he's like, what? And I'm like, everybody else broke off a piece, but not you. You just sort of dug right in. He's like, oh, I didn't even think of that.
Yeah, he's getting married soon. All of his, like, social stuff is out the window.
Somebody else is going to think of that stuff for me, right?
Forever.
That's what spouses do, right?
So what French shows do you guys have coming up? Besides, oh my God, I know this is such a trick question.
Well,
besides your dance show.
I told you about High Flight, which is totally challenging me and destroying me in wonderful ways.
That's
and I
so
hope
cool.
Listeners... However many of you there are.
Scores of listeners.
I hope you will come because I am very, very excited with how this has challenged me. Also, I will actually be performing in two of the performances because I have to fill in for my dancers a couple of times. And so there are a lot of people who are like, wait, I actually get to see you dance. That makes it better. Mm-hmm. I don't understand why they think that's better.
People don't get to because you are the magic behind the scenes, and you should be on the scenes every once in a while, girl.
I'm a 45-year-old woman who is tired and old.
Who dances like she's in her 20s.
Except for when your knees don't work.
I drink like I'm in my 20s. Let's get the correct verb on there.
Okay.
But the other show... Let's see, is there another Fringe show that we're working on?
I think there might be a Fringe show that we're working on.
Because I was like, yay, I'm only doing one Fringe show. And then Tim Wick looked at me and went, excuse me? And I'm like, oh, wait, no, you're right. I'm doing two because I'd forgotten.
And I said, are we going to do another musical? I was all excited and happy. No. No, we're not doing
it. Because the name of the show is The Not Musical.
Right. I'm like, oh, so you don't need me then, since it's not a musical. Oh, there's still music. Thanks, Tim. Yeah.
So it is The Sound of Footloose, the not musical. And it's a mashup of The Sound of Music and Footloose, the movie, in incredible, brilliant ways that only Tim Wick can create. I mean, it's just like, how do you... What's going on in your head?
And I'm so proud of him. I mean, in the same way that I have been super challenged by High Flight, Tim really struggled with the script this year. This was, this really pushed him, but boy, did he deliver. I think the script is fantastic.
Oh my gosh, it made me just, I was just giggling and just had my hands over my face as I was reading. It was like, no, what?
So it's got nuns, it's got Nazis, it's got the Kevin Bacon character.
It's got goats.
It's got goats.
Of course it's got goats. Yeah, it's got nuns and Nazis and also a fantastic 80s score because it is set in the gritty pre-World War II 1980s.
Yes. And like some of the music crossovers, instead of dancing in the streets, it's Nazis in the streets and... Let's Hear It for the Goat Herd, I believe, is another.
Some of these ideas happened while Tim was sitting in my bedroom and we were just playing around with the music trying to figure out how are we going to jump from A to B? How are we going to make this big jump? And then so what we'll do is we'll just start playing around and making fun and we'll watch videos of both shows and go, well, that's really funny. Look at the comparisons. Oh, wait a minute. And then something will happen and Tim will be like, okay, let's do that. And he'll start writing. And once he launches from that launch pad, there is no coming back. The man just writes.
It's amazing.
He has an idea
he's
where he wants
gift.
To go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's got a gift. He really does.
His brain is fascinating. I have to think that it fires off in colors that other humans can't even see, let alone use.
So in the music process, Chad, does Tim start with the words or does he start with you?
I mean, either approach is acceptable. It's happened both ways where I'll start playing something and he'll get an idea off of that, or he'll say something that makes me think, oh, well, when you say that, I think this. So it goes, it's definitely a bi-directional field. It goes back and forth.
You two are bi.
We are.
Together.
Is that really? That's more shocking, surprising sounding for me than it is for Tim. I'm sorry if I'm the only one that's thinking it. But
you would not be the first person to try to tell Tim that he's a little bit gay and that Pat is just his beard.
No. Halfway through a Dregs performance, I will step out in front of the other Dregs and say, and I'm the gay one. I'm the gay one.
Yeah, right. Good luck with that with Tim and Jeffrey.
Well, yeah, of course. Well. Now with Jeffrey, I'm not quite so gay, Mr. authentically Eyeliner. Gay anymore. Yeah. I'm only like faux gay now. You know, I'm not actually feels like it.
Like,
I'm yesterday's gay.
I'm yesterday's
gay. Yesterday's gay.
You're old yesterday.
I will. Yeah, that's true, girl. That's true. I'm old school. There's a lot of value in that.
Only a gay man can snap like that.
Yeah, seriously. No, that's true. Yeah.
Well, you know, a lot
and
of
a
practice.
Music director.
And a
yes,
music director.
Those two things will automatically.
So when you're doing the dance choreography for Footloose, and
yeah, because
how hard was
I'm
that
the
to
only
together?
choreographer that Tim knows.
Well, but you're brilliant, and let's just be honest.
Well, after last year, okay, because it was, it was the complete works of William Shatner abridged.
Which was amazing, and you were fantastic in that, Wendy.
Thank you.
You were fantastic. Oh,
I do
God, I love that show.
I do a pretty good Shatner, I really do.
Oh, do a Shatner now.
Oh, please.
I got to warm up to it. But
No, you can do it.
The thing is, it's the body that sells it. Everybody's like, oh, my God, your cadences are so great. I'm like, no, it's the body that's...
Stand up, walk around, get into it.
Yeah, okay, well...
Starting. 5, 4, 3... 7-2. The Enterprise has left me here on this planet, and I can't make contact. Spock. It was super cool. Also, I finally got to do a shoulder roll.
Mm-hmm.
That was super good times, and Duck was in it and everything. So as we're hanging around that year during that, and I had this idea. I have had it for like probably a decade of Top Gun the musical, where all of the dances are like West Side Story, like all of the jet fighting will be done by dancing. And but the problem is I don't
write
music.
When you say West Side Story jet fighting, you actually mean fighter plane jet fighting.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. In Top Gun. Okay. Thank you.
Yes. But I don't write music.
Yeah.
But there came a point, and it was actually while we were sitting waiting for the Diamond Lens to begin, we were sitting there in the Music Box Theater, and I was sitting next to Tim, and I looked at him and went, Tim, yeah, you write music. Yeah. I have an idea. I have a dream. And you could be the guy to make it come true, Tim. Yes. And so I told him, and he turned to John Newstrom later. He's like, John, Wendy knows what show we're doing next year. And so that's how Top Gun the Musical happened. And then
Tim
called me
and said, Chad, you're doing the music. You're going to help me do the music and all that stuff. And that's how the dominoes fell.
Yeah. But we had such a good time that when Tim started thinking about the next show he wanted to do the next year, he, of course, was like, okay, I want it to be a not musical and it's going to involve Footloose. So that means there's going to be dancing. Wendy. And I went, yes. And then I kind of sort of forgot about it, and then Tim got into the Fringe, and I was all like, yay, I got in the Fringe, I'm only gonna do one show this year. And he went, Wendy. And I went, or two. I will do two, apparently. But this year, Sound of Footloose, and I'm super excited because I love Footloose so much. I really do. And when you go back and watch it, here's the thing about cheesy 80s movies that I have been rediscovering recently. Our bar on what is a cheesy movie has dropped hugely in the 2000s. Mm-hmm. So what is just a ridiculous entertainment is so shallow and limp these days that when you go back to the 1980s and watch a movie that you're like, oh, that's just a cheesy entertainment, and watch it, it is amazingly, it's full of depth you had forgotten about. Yep. There's an actual script. There are performances happening. Yep. And you're like, this is actually a really solid film.
Yep.
When you compare Footloose to one of the Transformers films that just came out.
Don't even.
Stop. That's my point.
I know. I hear you.
Oh, Point Break also. Point Break was the movie that like cemented my, holy crap, because you think of it as this ridiculous action film, and then you go watch it, and it's like, this is really solid and
there's
nuanced.
There's a level of intelligence in the way it was done.
And the funniest part is that one of our youngest performers in Footloose, the not musical, is just turned 15, and she has lines where she has to quote from Madonna's Like a Prayer.
Oh, no.
And so she was, you know, and she was actually delivering the lines like, fine, you know, just, you know, everyone must stand alone. You know, like, but then that's when our director Bill Steitler was like, you know, that's lines from a song. She's like, no. And then he said something like, that's the moment you realize that your actor is younger than the song that was actually produced. And so he posted the Like a Prayer video on the Facebook page, and I was like, oh my god, this makes sense now.
It does.
I mean, like 20 some years later, this is actually a beautiful piece of work, and here we all made fun of it, but it's kind of the same concept. Yeah. It was like, this is so much better than the crap we see now.
Even when it was released, people didn't know how to take it. When Madonna released that video, people just went out of their minds.
Yes.
Oh my god,
there's black people and white people living in harmony.
Exactly.
And kissed. Oh my gosh.
But, so yeah, Footloose has John Lithgow and Diane Wiest.
Oh, Diane just turns my crank every time.
The only problem with the original Footloose movie is Laurie Singer.
Oh, yeah.
Which one is Laurie Singer?
She's Ariel. Oh, my God.
I was like, dude, eat a cheeseburger.
Oh, God. I cannot handle her. And she's awkward and awful.
Mm. Back then, everybody going, oh, everybody wants to be like her. And then you look at it now and go, and why was that?
Exactly. She wasn't a virgin. That's why.
That's why they wanted to be like that. Yeah. And actually, when you look at
it now,
great
hair.
It's remarkably sex positive.
Oh, totally is. Completely is.
And there's a lot to really like about the movie. So
Watch it again.
Mm-hmm. Of course, I love The Sound of Music. I'm a huge nerd for musicals, and I could talk to you about all sorts of trivia involving Christopher Plummer.
Sadly, our podcast is only an hour long.
So, but when Tim said, I'm going to put these two together, I went, yes, that will be fantastic. And then we had this whole discussion about what will the numbers be like, and Tim was like, well, I was just going to do the just lift the numbers from the movie. I'm like, no, it needs to be something more than that. There's an opportunity there. And then I get this email file in my email, and it's Nazis in the Street, and I open it and I listen and I'm like, yes, this is exactly what we needed. This is so fantastic. I am excited for this show now. Yay!
I was so amazed that
there were Kermit arms involved in that. Yay.
Every single song is really a 50-50 proposition of both shows. It's amazing.
Yeah, I'm super excited.
But I have to say, the other night you were choreographing Footloose and you gave me something to do that
You'll just have to come and see the show.
But it made me so deliriously happy on the inside. I don't remember the last time I was that giddy. And I was trying to be cool, but I wasn't. And I was just like, oh my God, that's so great.
And I've never seen so many, like, choreographed Heil Hitlers and, you know, Zeke Heils going on.
Oh, God.
But we should probably talk about this wine and actually rate it before
let's burn the entire show. Let's go as fast as we can on this.
Because we've got one more wine product to try.
So, Chad, you want to give this one a shot?
1 through 5, 1 being worst, 5 being you would tap that vintner's cask.
I'm just going to say...
You're going to say 5, aren't you?
How did you get that?
Well, what does he look like?
I'm just not really happy with this wine, I'll be honest.
Would you put it on your salad?
I would entertain the idea of, if only I could get some, you know, croutons and a whole bevy of other assorted vegetables to throw on top of the salad, too. Yeah. I'd have to say around, like, 3, 2.5. I'm just there.
So if someone gave this to you at a wedding, you'd be like, meh, someone gave this to me at a wedding.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm going to call it a 3. I am not particular about my alcohols in terms of what I will shove in my face, especially if it's free.
Yeah.
I'm assuming at the wedding, if it's free, I'll probably drink it. It is not offensive. It really isn't. It's nothing.
Yeah.
And if I am wanting to get my drunk on,
that's beautiful.
If I'm wanting to get my drunk on, this is the perfect wine to do it because I'm not going to notice.
Yeah. You know, this is going to hit your stomach hard, though.
Do you think so?
I think so.
But the good news is at a wedding, you've got cake.
You would hope so. I've been to weddings without it.
Except I don't generally do gluten or sugar, so I don't get the cake.
Well, life is hard for you.
It is. Oh, honey, I could tell you, but I won't.
But for me, it's a 3. I would drink this at a wedding and be like, yeah, I had a wine. It was a wine.
It was a wine.
Lana, how do you feel about it?
Yeah, 2.5.
Yeah. I mean, I would give this... I'm going to go with you on this one. This is a 2.5. There's just nothing interesting. Mm. It's not bad, but it's not interesting.
Yeah.
And so that's how we feel about the Salmon Creek 2012 Pinot Noir. Now, this is the funny part, is that I have promised... We're wrapping up with actually a third wine. I'm getting a double bird right now from Lana. Because
she loves to torment
to
me.
To make her drink canned wine product. And she was like, I'm never going to drink that. And now she's going to...
It's called flip-flop fizzy?
It's called flip-flop fizzy.
that's a sign of quality.
And that's sangria flavor?
Yes, this is sangria, refreshing sangria with a hint of bubbles.
You mean like shampoo?
Yes.
You say shampoo like it's a turd.
Mm-hmm. Well, it is if you're going to drink it.
So now, audience, we are moving to this one. So here we go. Here we open it. Oh, wow.
Oh, my God. That refreshes.
Mm-hmm. Drink it, Lana. Now, I've had this before.
Okay, I'm putting this into a glass because wine out of aluminum just is not turning my crank.
Well, we only have one, so we have to share.
Yeah, because nobody wanted a whole one, right?
I would have. I've had whole ones of
this. Yeah, but I've seen some of the stuff you drink at con.
Well, yeah.
I'm sorry, baby.
There are times when it doesn't matter what you drink as long as you're drinking.
Well, there's that. So, but this is a gorgeous, like...
It's
like,
a very pretty color.
It's a pretty burgundy.
Like, burgundy-ish, like, ruby
it's
red.
It's very pretty.
It's very vibrant.
It smells...
Yeah, the smell...
It smells sort of like scented cleaner.
I was going to say, this reminds me of standing at the airport and smelling all the fuel exhaust.
It's it does. It smells like somebody cleaned up vomit with it. And I say that as a woman who has worked as a middle school teacher.
It's that special, stuff they put on the floor to clean the stuff.
Oh, yeah, no, yeah. No, as a mom, I would never use these chemicals near my child. Are you kidding?
Dawn, no legs. We're going to have a little pause here.
Yeah,
because you're going to.
There are two legs, right there.
Okay, wait, hold on a second.
This is what I have to say before I drink this.
Okay.
Fuck you.
You're welcome. All right, so.
You weren't supposed to swear when we're on the
That's why I gave her the
end. Yes, I probably wouldn't.
All right, let's.
Are you telling me I gotta drink this?
Oh, wait a second. Let's toast to this.
Toast to being adventurous.
And having taste buds after this sip.
Yay.
And you know what? And I had to grow mine back after the last one.
Oh.
Okay, give it a try. I don't mind this.
Nope. When you said the cleaner, the specific cleaner, it just put it in my mouth.
Now, try it from the can. For our people in the audience, don't drink out of the plastic. Try it from the can itself.
Because the aluminum makes it better?
It does.
It does.
What? Exactly. The aluminum makes it better.
Okay, I've blown your mic. I'm so sorry.
If anybody wants to.
No! No, God, no!
There's going to be no second tastes for me.
No, try it. Seriously,
okay,
from
wait,
the
wait,
can.
Okay, wait, wait, wait. Okay, I'm going to do this.
No, don't.
Scientifically. No, scientifically.
Oh, okay. Okay. Don't drink them both at once.
Oh, God, it's a horrible smell. It is. I think it's that the can doesn't let you smell it.
You know, I bet that's it.
The can doesn't let you smell it. I think it's delicious.
It's actually pretty good out of the can.
It's good out of the can.
It tastes like a wine soda.
Now, here's the real question. Dump it on that stain on the floor over there.
Wait a second. Let me throw up and you can
clean
it up.
Oh, my God. It is so much better out of the can.
It's so much better out of the can. Yes.
You can't smell the cleaners.
You can't smell the cleaner out of it. But, no, I think it's delicious.
Try it out of the can.
Just try it out of the can. You're going to be super surprised. I'm not saying it's good. I'm saying it's better.
All right. It won't make you want to commit suicide anymore.
Any more than what it already is now. Yes.
No! God, that's still awful.
Well, anyways, I finally made Lana drink canned wine product.
Just wait till the next time I get to choose.
And now Wendy's drinking it with her nose pinched off.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that improves it, guys. It really does.
You know what would be even better? If I scraped every taste bud off my tongue first.
Well, yeah.
Well, duh.
I mean,
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well,
oh, dear.
We have had multiple wines. We've had the...
if I could just not smell it, it would be really fantastic.
You know, that's why you could drink it out of the can.
So I
think we have an audience member already polished hers off. Yeah, drink
it out of the can. Angela.
You want to drink out of my...
Here.
No, I don't need to finish it.
No, there you go, Dawn. Finish it off.
No, thank you.
Finish it off, Dawn.
Oh, that's very... Do you want the rest of my bottle of this limp wine?
Yeah, I'll bring it.
It's so flaccid.
I'll take
right
your
down.
Red, and she can have the flip-flop.
Alrighty.
Well, that's how bad it is.
Anyway, so today we've been drinking the Lana, pronounce it for me.
Prosecco
Doc Tosti.
And the Crappy Creek Pinot No Crap, 2012
The
California.
Salmon Creek, because it had fishes in it.
And the flip-flop fizzy other things that start with F. Sangria.
So that's what I tasted, flip-flops.
Oh, yeah.
So out of
burning
the three...
Burning flip-flops.
Out of the three, Wendy, which one was your favorite?
Which was your less...
Do we need to have a discussion about this? All right, is there anybody at this table who would choose anything other than the Prosecco?
I'm raising my hand. Any of our audience members
because
are shaking their heads.
I do not want to know you if you would.
I would bathe in the Prosecco.
That's likewise.
Well, yeah, the bubbles would be delicious.
It would tickle so nice.
Not go where I'm going. So coming up for
later.
This,
although you get cleaner the bathtub if you bathed with the flip-flop.
God,
I
would use the flip-flop in the bath, but not with me in it.
Oh, okay.
So, coming up for the 2015 Minnesota Fringe Festival is Wendy's show, what is it called again?
High Flight,
and The Sound of Footloose, the Not Musical. And you've been listening to Screw It, a podcast about wine. Wine improves with age. We improve with wine. Chad Dutton has been our guest. So has Wendy Bowlesby. Lana, what is our next topic?
Oh, God. Yes. Something that Dawn will hate. I don't know what it is yet, but
you
stay tuned.
It's only fair.
Oh, I will think of something.
Oh,
maybe it'll be cider.
Oh.
Yes!
No,
cider.
I like cider.
Cider is awesome.
I know!
That's weird.
Oh, wait, you just made me drink.
I know, but I like cider.
Do you have a crappy cider or something?
Okay, no. She doesn't want us to do cider last time.
Theme song. I want to do it in the fall. Theme song, because that's when people drink ciders in the fall.
I drink it all summer.
Theme song. This is our theme song. Don't smell the flip-flop.
Theme song.